If you are a kid in this room and have not yet gone upstairs to our kids' church, you guys can go now as well. So, all right, well, welcome to Home Church again. If you are new or relatively new or haven't really been around this summer, we are currently in a series called Acts, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God, where we talk about either a particular story or a particular person in the book of Acts. And throughout this summer, we've just had this honor of having our student interns preaching various weeks. And so today is another one of those Sundays. This is actually her second time preaching. Normally she wouldn't, like, we wouldn't give an introduction to her because we saw, in a way, we all know her. I am giving an introduction to her because I did want to mention that today is her last day with us. And so in a way, we are honored to have her come up and share again. So if you guys can join me in welcoming Devin on stage.
Hey, guys. Good morning, church. How are you all doing? So, as Vincent said, my name's Devin, and this is my last week here, sadly. I just want to quickly start by saying thank you, because this internship has meant the world to me, and it's been something I needed to experience, and you guys made it fun. I've met a lot of great people, and you've really helped me on my journey, so thank you for being here. It's really crazy how time flies, and how summer is over. And fall is already here. School is starting again. And yeah, I know it's officially fall because I had a pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks. So I think it's time. But I just wanted to, as a reflection of where we've been, I wanted to go back to the beginning. Pastor Andy at the first week of July talked about the story of the lame beggar. This was a man who stood outside the same temple for 40 years, or didn't stand, he sat, because he was lame. But he sat outside of this temple for 40 years and begged and asked for food and money every day. But then suddenly Peter and John come by, and they stop, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they heal him. He stands up, he jumps, he dances, goes into the temple, and everybody sees. This is a public declaration of God. And everybody's celebrating. Yet despite this, Peter and John were judged, rejected, and persecuted for what they did. This miracle, this good thing they were persecuted for. This is where our story today is going to begin. Because it never just stops at the miracle, does it? Throughout the book of Acts, we see a lot of patterns and cycles repeating themselves. The main one is this. It starts with an act of proclamation, somebody delivering the good news of Jesus, somebody being bold in faith. It's then followed by a miraculous sign, a wonder happens, someone is healed, and God is working supernaturally. But then our story starts here, the next step, in the face of opposition. Throughout the book of Acts, the name of Jesus always elicits an emotion out of those who hear, whether good or bad. And this means that followers are often persecuted or opposed against. And this means either a simple rejection or a more brutal persecution, even death. Yet despite all of this, the circle is complete by the expansion of the church. God always is faithful, and the church would expand in number and grow in strength. In Acts 4, we see Peter and John, who after being seized and thrown into jail, are now facing the Sanhedrin. But before we keep going, I want to explain what the Sanhedrin is, because it's a bit complicated. They were essentially a council or organization that would consist of multiple groups of important people. They were considered leaders in the church and were seen as the most important voice next to God's. And while figuring out how to explain this, I was on YouTube, as one is, and I came across a quick summary video. And so I want to show some stills from that video to explain, because nothing's as easy to understand as stick figures, right? So you can see here, there are 71 people that would be part of the Sanhedrin. This would consist of Pharisees, Sadducees, and other leaders in the church, including a high priest. The image that I just showed you shows the intimidation that would have happened in this moment. Maybe not all of the people were present, but I just think like an interview one-on-one with somebody is intimidating enough. To have 70 people or even just 20 would have been really intimidating. Yet Peter and John find themselves here in the same position that Jesus was, because the Sanhedrin were the same people that put Jesus on trial and sentenced him to death. Except in Jesus' situation, you'll see on the next slide, that there would have been witnesses present at this trial where everyone would stand in a big semicircle, real intimidating like this. But Jesus did not have witnesses in his trial. When the council would come together, they would decide the fate of this person. Will they be sentenced to death? Will they just go off with a warning? Peter and John were imprisoned. And they were just, honestly, in the midst of all of these important people, they were two ordinary Joes, Peter and John. They were followers of Jesus, but before that, they were fishermen. They loved a good day's work, working with their hands, feeling accomplished, and they were actually pretty uneducated. We think of the disciples and we think of these warriors of faith, these people that stood up and stood out in faith, but they were actually pretty weak to start, and they did not have the education you would expect them to have. They didn't have a rabbi before Jesus, which means they didn't have a good enough education to have one. And having a rabbi was an honor. It was important. And it's especially contradictory or controversial, I guess, that Jesus would be the one to ask them to be his disciples, when normally you would follow around the rabbi for years and then ask and hopefully be accepted. Jesus just accepted these ordinary people as they were. And we see Peter step out in boldness. In verse 8, we see this phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit. This phrase is another thing that we see repeated throughout the book of Acts. And it becomes really pivotal to the faith of these disciples. In Peter's case, he speaks out with courage, and he stands up for the name of Jesus to the very people who sentenced Jesus to death, and he talks about Jesus in the midst of it. He makes sure they know who did this miracle. In verse 10, it says this, "Then you know, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Now that's a proclamation if I've ever seen one, and it would have especially stung because not everybody in the Sanhedrin believed Jesus even rose from the dead. But now here's Peter connecting the dot between this miracle that they cannot deny, and it says so multiple times, that they can't deny it and they don't know what to do, he's connecting that with the fact that Jesus actually died and rose. This to me just makes it super clear that the Sanhedrin, the leaders, were acting out of fear. And not fear of Peter and John or the miracle that had happened, but fear of Jesus and what his name could actually mean for their lives. It says earlier that they were greatly disturbed. There was an emotion that we see, as we talked about, because Peter and John were proclaiming Jesus. If we're going to proclaim Jesus, we have to expect that there may be things that come in our way. For example, being seized and thrown into jail, as it says that Peter and John were. There's just something about the name of Jesus, isn't there? That in the midst of all of this, this goodness happening, that it would turn them away from that because it just brings up all this emotion. And also the fact that their numbers still grew despite all of this. We see this described in verse 4, that the number of believers grew to about 5,000 people. As we see this cycle unravel, we can see that this is not just the cycle of what happens in Acts. This is actually the cycle of what happens as the Spirit fills the believer. Peter, when filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaimed the name of Jesus. Notice how he did not do it on his own. He needed Jesus. He couldn't just use his set of skills. If you've read through the Gospels, then you know Peter was a bit forward. He would always go for it. If he sees Jesus walking on the water, he like jumps in the water too. He's like, I want to do that. Or if he sees somebody threatening Jesus, he literally cuts their ear off. He's a bit spontaneous, a bit bold, and you would think that this is just a normal part of his personality. But I was watching a sermon the other day, and something the pastor said really stuck out, that Peter is actually pretty timid and weak. We know this because when we see when it actually matters to tell somebody that he is associated with Jesus, he denies it. He's not proclaiming Jesus, he's actually denying him, and he does it 3 times, even when he was told that that was what he was going to do. That doesn't seem like courage to me. This is why him being filled with the Holy Spirit mattered. That's what brought him courage. And Jesus redeems Peter. So it's not to say that Peter is always weak, but it's to say that he's weak without Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit on his side, he is weak. And we will not have the courage without the Spirit either, or at least not the right kind of courage. Therefore, it could have just as easily been John who spoke out this way, the quieter one, the more abstract thinker, the intellectual one, who maybe you wouldn't think would step out and seemingly be an extrovert in that moment. But when the Holy Spirit works with us, he acknowledges who we are. He doesn't ignore it. Peter was the kind of guy to step out and do that, and so the Holy Spirit partnered with him. And with John, he was just as bold, just as valuable, and witnessed just as well, even if he did it differently. The Holy Spirit in your life is a partnership, and he will work together with you. If you take away anything from what I've said so far, I want it to be this, that knowing of the Holy Spirit is not enough, and we need to be fulfilled by him. And we will be filled with the Holy Spirit as a result of being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. I want to elaborate on that a little more through my favorite verse in this chapter. The verse is chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. So let's break that down a bit. On the next slide, you can see I have it separated by action words and descriptive words, with the actions being in yellow and the descriptions being in blue. So I want to talk about these in pairs for a second. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, this in itself is extravagant because we know that Peter is not courageous on his own, but they saw the courage because they showed it. A lot of the times the Lord will give us a gifting or we have the Holy Spirit living in us, but if we choose to not show it, nobody's going to see the courage. And that's a bit of a waste, isn't it? I hate to break it to you all, but school is starting soon. And we as ordinary people might struggle with that. I know that in high school I put a ton of pressure on myself to get good grades. I would cry all the time about it. It was kind of stupid when you think about it because I went to Bible college, but you don't need much credentials to get in there. But no hate, love Bible college. But we need to realize that we're ordinary people, and so your grades don't define you. So these things, these accomplishments aren't going to define you. It's actually your ordinariness that does, and that's not a weakness. Because we see that they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. And this is what's actually going to lead to them being astonished, to them seeing Jesus in these people, is that they didn't hide from their ordinariness. They didn't pretend to be super educated. They didn't act out perfectly. Instead, they just were who they were. And God saw that. And the people saw that. Have you been trying to be extraordinary or trying to be perfect? Trying to be something that you are not, such as extraordinary or perfect, does not actually reflect the image of God. Even though Jesus was extraordinary and perfect, we need to be who we are, ordinary. It's really important in our relationship to God and how we showcase him. We need to remember that even as we go to school, parents and kids, it's not about being the superstar parent and having it together, and it's not about being the all-star kid who does everything the best. Yes, the Lord wants to see our effort and for us to make the most of every opportunity we have, but we have to do so while realizing our weakness. One of the greatest things I did for my faith was realizing how much of a sinner and how desperate in need of him I am. The word astonished that we see in the next part of the verse can translate to amazed as well. The Greek word here is the same word that's used many other times throughout the Gospels, and it's always used to describe Jesus and how people are amazed at what Jesus was doing. They're in awe. They can't believe it. And now this is the word that's being used to describe what Peter and John are doing. The Holy Spirit allowed them to be like Jesus, to be Jesus to them in this moment at a time when he's no longer on earth physically. They're properly reflecting his image. So yes, the cycle in Acts shows how the Spirit works in people. But even simpler and deeper than that, the cycle is a natural overflow of being with Jesus. It's what happens when you spend time with him, when you get to know who he is. Sometimes we hear the Holy Spirit and we kind of don't think that we're associated with it, or we don't fully understand the picture of what the Holy Spirit means. It makes us uncomfortable. We think of the extravagant things and can't think of it as a real thing that's present in our lives. But it's really Jesus that's at the center and will bring you closer to the Holy Spirit. As you get to know the heart of Jesus, as you read his word, as you speak to him, and as you listen to him. Because when we pray, we should not just be speaking. It's a conversation and a relationship, so we have to listen. And when you learn how to do that, it'll transform your relationship with him. It also means being honest, because he already knows you so intimately. More than anybody ever will, he knows every bit. And another one of the greatest things I ever did for my faith was actually yelling at God. I remember being in my car and getting mad and screaming and freaking out because I was so stressed and so done, and I didn't understand why he was doing what he was doing. And I didn't think that I was allowed to do that. I never understood how I could be expressive in that way, because when I did that, I saw that God is just so full of grace and that he's so patient with each and every one of us. It's his heart to listen to you and to speak to you. Being with Jesus is at the center of this cycle. But sometimes I think that we put certain steps of this on a pedestal, or we put them in the wrong order. This is not to say that all of the parts are always in this order in the book of Acts, but sometimes we think, oh, if only I could evangelize to 5 people and have them come to Christ, then I'll be closer to Jesus. Or then I'll be able to know what it's like to be with Jesus. And miraculous, maybe, I know I used to think this way, that if I saw a miracle, then I wouldn't doubt anymore. Then I would finally get it, that everything would click for me. Or I also grew up in a Christian circle where I almost wanted opposition to come. I thought that my faith wasn't real because I wasn't constantly struggling. But it's actually being with Jesus that matters, and spending time with him. And through that, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Through that, these things begin to happen, and the things we never thought that would maybe be part of our story suddenly become part of it. I never thought that I would be able to preach and not be nervous. I never pictured this life for myself. In middle school, speaking publicly was like my worst fear. But it's being with Jesus that has allowed me to do this, to proclaim and see the things that I have seen. So I want you to actually think through this and maybe pick one that you think you struggle with or put sometimes more important or in front of God. These parts of the cycle are not just reserved for the ultra-spiritual people or the expressive people or the extroverts. They're for people who are with Jesus and who are filled by the Holy Spirit. And that can be you. That can be you. And these things might seem scary, sharing Jesus, seeing something that you can't explain with science, facing opposition you have no clue if you can handle. I know that they've scared me before, but it's fascinating because every time that I get the Holy Spirit involved, the fear behind it just kind of fades. And suddenly, we find ourselves able to tackle these things. The cycle we've been talking about between Peter and John also happens throughout the rest of the book of Acts. It happens with Paul multiple times where he speaks out, a miracle happens, he gets put in jail, and then he just does it over and over and over again. I don't know how he does it. This also happens with a man named Stephen. He was a man who was selected as part of, he was one of seven men who was selected to watch over the rationing and supporting people who were impoverished. And he is chosen to help those who are oppressed, those who are struggling. And so he proclaims the Lord through a monologue. He gives a whole story, which I do not have time to read. He talks all about how Jesus has worked throughout the entirety of history. And as he does this, people don't like it. Even though he's speaking truth and he's proclaiming God, he faces opposition. But it says that he was full of the Spirit. That same phrase that we see in Peter before happens in Stephen, and it happens again with Paul, and it happens now with us. This is relevant to us today, and it's still part of our lives. It can be part of our lives. When I was in high school, I was in art class, and we had to paint. I also went to a Christian school, so we were painting Bible characters, and we picked somebody who would go through an emotional moment and depicting what that would look like for them. So I painted Stephen over here. My friend Caitlin is going to flip it. This is what I believe the moment would have been like when he saw Jesus in heaven. And I think this is relevant to our message today, not just because the Holy Spirit was with him and he was filled with the Spirit, but because as he is, he looks up to heaven and he sees Jesus, and it says that his face like lights up or actually glows, and people are like, what's going on? There's a reaction to him seeing Jesus. He's not just a spiritual person who was filled with the Spirit. He is an ordinary person who had a relationship with Jesus. And it's so clearly shown where that boldness comes from as the heavens open up and as he sees as he sees Jesus there. We all need moments like this. We're seeing Jesus brings this comfort to us. It brings this ease. It brings this assurance. And it can be hard to witness God. And maybe if you're struggling with that, it's because you haven't seen or heard or realized enough lately. I encourage you to go out there and see how Jesus is working in those around us, because there's always something going on. There's always something we can observe. Yeah. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And we're going to go through response time together. And if there's people who are on prayer team, I would also like them to come up. And I just want to have time for us to reflect. Maybe you need to realize how ordinary you truly are right now. Maybe you need a bit of humbling. And I think that even if we don't realize it, we kind of know. Like, oh, I'm putting myself too high on a pedestal. Or we're looking at this cycle and we see these things that we want. We want to proclaim God. We want to see miracles. We want God to come through and expand the church as we're opposed against. We want this like revolutionary story, and that story is alive and well, but we need Jesus. And that's the center of what starts it all. If you're struggling with any of these things, you have to go back to the core of it. Being filled with the Spirit, being with Jesus. When we choose to be with Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit, it should be made visible. When we proclaim the name of Jesus, the miraculous can happen. As the miraculous happens, we will face opposition. But as we face opposition and testimonies are created with people like the lame beggar, people like you, people who are weak like Peter, the church will find itself growing in numbers and growing in strength, even if we don't always see it. Maybe you're so focused on the results of your ministry, you're passionate about it, you have your priorities right, but the idea of expansion is getting a little too much in the way of realizing the power of the Spirit first. We find our strength in God alone. So I'm going to pray us out, and then we're going to go through some worship together. Lord, thank you for your presence amongst us. I pray that we would learn what it means to spend time with you, whether we've done it forever and you reveal new things to us, or we haven't and we're confused and we don't know what to do. Lord, would we just reflect on your character, and would that bring us closer to you? Would we see that's what matters? Would we learn from Peter and John and see that these are not extraordinary people, but ordinary ones, and that we can resemble them no matter who we're more like, no matter where we see ourselves. Even if we don't feel like we fit in the perception of Peter or John or a certain person, would we not feel a need to put ourselves on a character, but see that we are characters in the story of God, and that the history of the Lord is consistent to today, and there are stories and testimonies happening now. Amen. So if you would like prayer at this time, I encourage you to come up to the front and receive that. Don't waste this time, because being with Jesus is the best thing that you can do for yourself. So learn what that means and explore more and more. God bless.